This is Joey Shimotaro. I'm here with my good friend Craig Kimberly.
Good morning.
This is the Gloucester Cast. It is February 24th. Can you believe March is just a couple days away?
It is awesome and scary that it's already here.
I know. We're going to blink and it's going to be 85 degrees. And we're going to be bitching about the heat.
I'll take it. Although I will be warm this week anyways.
Where are you going this week?
I'm taking your place in Fort Myers.
Oh, my normal place at, yes. at spring training. Yes. I'm not going this year.
But I'm going in your stay or stead or whatever they say. So my Aunt Joan has rented a condo down there and invited me to come down and see a few games, and she's driving, so yeah, I'll drive down with her and fly back. And I've never been down there for a spring training, so I'll be warm in about 2 days, Joey.
So you've never seen the new stadium? The new stadium is, I have not either. I went for, I was at the first year that they opened the old stadium up in Fort Myers. I went every year up until last year to every spring training game every year. Last year was the first time I missed it, but they opened up a new stadium 2 years ago, and they say it's something to behold.
It's a stunner, JetBlue Park. Yeah, I've seen it on TV, you know, of course I've seen it on the web, the internets, looked at the photos and stuff. It is beautiful looking.
I think it's close to this mall that they built. It's like an open-air mall, and it's right near, what's the name of the college that's in Naples? They went to the Final Four last year. They were like the dream team, college basketball.
I do not recall.
Dunk that. City. I forget what they call it, but it's like this country club, gorgeous campus, and there's great, great dining options right next to it. I think there's a Bass Pro Shops right there. There's a lot to do in that area. That area went from being a complete dump 10 years ago to being like a mini Naples. And a lot of people are going there now for vacations. So spring training is I picture myself, I get to a point someday when I retire that I can go down to Naples to retire and buy a season tickets for spring training and go to every spring training game because it's such a good take.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Really good.
I'm excited about it, man. There's already, Joan has sent me some links to, restaurants and...
No.
And like World of Beers, they have like, that's a chain down there.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if there's any near here. There's probably one in like Washington, D.C. or something. But I had the app on my phone just to look up information on certain beers coming. I didn't know it was, I thought it was a store. Well, it's a bar that has like 300, 400 beers on tap. So I may have to stop by and have a beer.
You're gonna
at some
love
point.
It. You're going to love it. Have you, I noticed yesterday you posted your first post to the new Good Morning Gloucester Google Plus community.
Yes, my first. Trying to get involved.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I love it. You know, my whole theory behind it is like people can post comments on the blog, which is nice and everything, but the comment section is not perfect because we have to moderate it and stuff like that. The Google Plus allows people to directly post photos or images or comments without me having to moderate it. But the way we set it up was we set it up as a private group so not anyone could just join. And that way there, I can, if someone gets out of line and is not being cool or slams some local business or something, I just immediately will just cut them off. So we have, I feel like it's the best of all worlds to take that comment section to the next level and have friends of the blog, Good Morning Gloucester community people, being able to directly access and post things. And it takes a little bit of the pressure off of me for community announcements. I'm just like, I'm replying to these people, post it directly to the Good Morning Gloucester community group, and... Nice. That way there, it takes me out of that equation, and I can concentrate on creating better content.
I love it. I didn't actually understand the full scale of now that you explained it more, I think I get a better gist of it. It's cool. It's like a private club, immediate access to all things that, same stuff I think that people, concern themselves with on the blog and posting and stuff, but it's instantaneous and... We all know about it right away instead of waiting for it to the next day or to be approved, like you said. So that's pretty cool, man. That's
cool. People have a lot of people send me press releases like the day before, and they don't realize that if I get that press release the day before and I post it that day, we have a huge number of people that subscribe, and they don't get that email until 8:30 that night.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh,
the ship has sailed.
So the ship has sailed, you know what I mean? So if they can post directly, go for it. I'm all for it, you know? And hopefully people don't get too spammy with it. But I don't think people will. And if they do, I'll just give them a heads up.
The czar, man.
The czar.
Just strike them across.
Strike them across, yeah. But I love it. It's fun. And I've been very we have that Brenda Davis. Have you seen the before and after photos, like the old time black and whites? And then she goes around and she takes a photo of the same vantage point today and see what has changed and what stayed the same.
Love that stuff.
People love that. And so that's an example. Like I didn't have to edit that. And I'm not putting those on the blog. I'm keeping them there.
Exclusive Google Plus content.
Exclusive.
I've got to get, I did get the one post out, and you showed me how to use a burst mode, which I just don't recall if I ever knew how to do that on my iPhone there, and turned it immediately into a GIF.
Yeah, an animated GIF.
An animated GIF, yeah. And that was cool.
Yeah, how hard was it?
Oh, you just hold down a button?
You hold down a button.
And then send it to Google Plus and then wait, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that was awesome. That was easy. I always feel like I'm a step behind you. I got to get my game up all the time on this technology, man.
You are not a step behind me on anything to do with video, but you're a step ahead of just about everyone I know because the stuff that you create is... Oh, let's talk about your... dun, dun, dun,
dun.
That's right, the new Good Morning Gloucester copter cam.
The copter cam. the GMG drone, if you will, I guess.
Tell people.
Pretty wicked, huh?
When are we going to see? You told me we're going to see it today.
Yeah, I lied to you. I ended up having to go out to Stones last night instead of editing video. I have to make these decisions on the fly, Joey.
Hard cutting.
You know what I'm saying?
High impact decisions.
Definitely. So, the GMG flying above Joey's place yesterday, drone, is probably my fourth shoot with it.
Explain the setup.
All right. It's a company out of, I think, Japan called DJI makes something called a Phantom. And then a company out of Fort Lauderdale buys these drones, these quad choppers, you know, four propellers.
Four propellers, and the propellers
like an X in the sky.
Up and down. You know, yeah. they're not horizontal.
Yeah,
no, they are horizontal.
They're vertical, like a helicopter blade.
Right, yeah. They go up. So there's four placed on an axis.
Yep, and with the aid of a really wicked controller, you have pretty awesome control over it.
And there's a camera down below.
Yes, well, so they sell these things by themselves, and they sell them where you can attach a GoPro. Then they sell them with their own camera, and then they sell them with a gimbal, which allows you to tilt the camera. And the chopper does the panning left to right. So a company out of Fort Lauderdale called DSLR Pros, they buy these things up, tear them apart, put new motors in them, reprogram them.
Make them super.
Put
choppers.
Them on steroids, basically. Yeah. They're Phantoms on steroids. You get this awesome gimbal, carbon fiber blades. They give you kits of those. And this new transmitter receiver controller thingy. You know, the thing with all the levers and buttons on it.
But you can see...
It's pretty high-tech.
But that thing's like... it has a range of a mile. And you have the controller. It looks like, you know, one of those radio control airplane controllers like on steroids. But it also has...
A seven-inch monitor.
So you can see what the thing can see.
Yeah, I can see the GoPro live.
Right.
And all kinds of other information. at the same time. Now, it's, you know, the range of the monitor, the reception is shoddy at times. Mm. I mean, I think if I go like about 150 to 200 yards like I did yesterday down the river, I lost reception. So then it becomes you have to look up and find that sucker, which is extremely unnerving.
Especially when it's over water.
Yes, especially when it's over water.
But I was looking through the monitor behind you, over your shoulder, and you were following a boat out and then following another one coming in over Gloucester Harbor, over the channel, coming towards the dock.
A point of view you can't get, even with a chopper, you can't get that low.
Bananas. But there's some privacy issues with these things. Like, they're trying to, the government, they're so revolutionary and so freaky and unbelievable that, like, they're scrambling to put laws into place because you can do some crazy stuff with it.
Yeah, they're going nuts with it. There's all kinds of things going on with the drones right now. I almost hate using the word drone. I like a remote control quad chopper because it sounds less evasive.
Right,
or whatever.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Drones, you know, they have drones that are, you know, 2,000 pounds and drop bombs. I mean, this is a, you know, it's not a toy,
right.
But it is just a, you know, a small little.
For our purposes.
For our purposes. It's a fun overhead video stuff. So.
Get vantage points of Gloucester
that
you can't get otherwise, and we have access to it.
Yeah,
so we look forward to some really
Brian
good
Mock
stuff.
And I went to yesterday morning at sunrise. We went to Cranes Beach and went out there, and I had him walk out on the sand and start casting his fishing rod as I flew back and forth over top of him to get this just a cool shot you've just never seen before.
Yeah.
So we're out there flying it, and the screen has all this information on it. The controller has all this information. There's timers and things beeping and going off, and there's a lot going on, and it's supposed to have a homing device to come back, which it does. It'll come back to where you took off. If it loses control from you, goes out of range, or if it knows it's running out of power. So it actually showed me that I still had enough power to get back. And I've been flying all over the water, all over the beach. I look up, and that sucker was gone. I look at my screen, and it was shoddy, and it was missing. Then I look down, and I saw sand. So it landed itself about 300 yards away from me.
Whoa.
And it just so happened to land on the sand.
You were lucky.
On the beach.
You could have landed in the water.
Yes,
because
the GoPro is not in any sort of protective housing. It is exposed so that it can connect the back of the camera to the gimbal and to transfer video to you live while you're still recording it to the GoPro. So it just decided, I think because it was cold, I don't think I have enough to fly, I'm going to sit down. And it literally sat itself down, and I almost had a heart attack. So as you can imagine, as I'm out here flying halfway down the river.
You were so concentrated. I was trying to talk to you, and you just like shut everything around you. What was non-existent at that point.
Yeah, people come up and talk to you, and you literally, if you lose, you will lose that thing. Thing is, panic mode will set in with this thing because there's so much control. Mm-hmm. It can go up, down, left, right, forwards, backwards, spin. It drops rapidly. It can go 45 miles an hour. So in the touch of a thumb, you're all of a sudden up against a building or a tree or in the water. So it's dangerous, but it's fun. So footage is coming. I got some shots I did this week. I got some shots I did with Brian. I did some test stuff over top of Plum Cove by my house. So I got some footage coming. I'm going to shoot some stuff today. Then I'll probably make a little sample for everyone to see.
Uh-huh.
Some nerve-wracking footage.
Nerve-wracking footage.
But it is pretty. There's a huge learning curve, but I'm getting
possibilities.
It.
Fiesta.
Oh.
Horrible's Parade.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could take you along from the sky anywhere for anything we do. I will put you 5 feet above that flag, hovering as people run towards that thing. And as soon as they hit the water, I'll pan the camera down. I mean, we're going to get...
My pants just got tight.
I know. Mine did too. I got very excited right now. So, yeah, lots of possibilities, knock on wood, as long as I don't put that thing in the drink.
I had the girls this past week for February vacation, and we did some crazy fun stuff, sledding over in Magnolia where the soccer fields are.
Oh, wow.
Extreme sledding. We're going through
high-speed sledding.
Yeah, high-speed sledding. We had to hike out to the place where the drop-off was, and it was great. But I wanted to give a shout out to Nicole Schraft, who put together that list for us, the February vacation.
That was a list, brother. that was a pamphlet.
She does not mess around. I equate her to when EJ joined the blog. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, show me some, you know, what you can do, and I'll see if we can use you. And EJ came out with like 15 posts within like 3 hours that were all amazing posts. And Nicole obviously takes pride in whatever she's going to put publicly, and she came up with an awesome list. But one of the things that I wanted to highlight was the Museum of Natural History in Cambridge. And it's not that expensive. I think it's like $8 a person to go.
Wow.
And the exhibits are amazing. They have like tons of dinosaur remains. What do you call those things?
Fossils,
but like all put together. Yeah. Like, you know, and like they're standing up. This room with rocks, every kind of rock and every kind of, I mean, that you could ever imagine, these different formations. And I didn't realize in nature how geometrical some of these rock formations, like perfect squares at 90 degrees. And
yeah,
then,
like those ones, was it Ireland or Scotland on the shore where they just come up like, were they hexagons or something?
It looks like something out of Krypton. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. Like Superman lands there and you wonder where the guy that made the movie got the ideas for these kind of,
it's
actually real in nature, you know, just much like aliens. Like a lot of the inspiration for that probably came from deep sea creatures and stuff like that. And what was that movie, The Abyss? Remember The Abyss?
Yeah.
Was that a great movie?
It was pretty good.
I thought that was a great movie. But like they had like these creatures, and they were really like the huge jellyfish. But no one
based off of real
based
creatures.
Off of real, like something real, but we don't see it every day. So that place is, if you have children, even if you don't have children,
I want to go
as adults. if you and Nicole was saying, it's even better to go like late spring on a nice day, because you go there, you walk through Harvard's campus and you're in Harvard Square, and there's the street performers, there's great restaurants, there's a whole scene going on there. Tremendous take that I did not know about, and not that if I didn't know about it, you know, maybe I'm just out to lunch, but if other people don't know about it, you should.
Definitely.
And, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
So speaking of February vacation, my buddy Eric Lorden told me that the city of Taunton took a vote to do away with February vacation. And this was the premise. The premise was to give them a three-day weekend in February, and then take those 4 days and take them off the end of the school year.
Huh.
And they put it to a vote, and 73% of the citizens said, yes, let's do that.
Huh.
I don't know if I'm surprised or not, but
I'm slightly surprised.
I think my guess is that there are so many families that people have to work nowadays to make a living that they have to scramble for February vacation.
It's a speed bump in the middle. Yeah.
It's almost like you get done with Christmas break and boom, you're on to February vacation. I almost think like they should either do away with February vacation. I would think like March vacation would make more sense.
Kind of spring break. I mean,
I guess college kids go away in March, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was interesting to me that they voted that way. My guess is that, and I guess the because of a lot of snow days, that might have been a factor in this decision, because the teachers have in their contracts that they don't have to work after so many days. So they can't just keep extending the school year because the teachers have contracts.
Yeah.
And
lives.
and lives, absolutely, yeah. But I imagine like everybody looks at it from their unique perspective. Like, you look at it from a student's perspective, then you look at it from a teacher's perspective. You know, you look at it as a teacher's administrator's perspective, a school committee perspective, you know, the money that has to fund whatever. But as it turns out, 73%, and they voted to do that. And I guess that's a trend that more cities are looking towards.
I'm sure the kids, like, you know, at first probably don't like it, maybe like, hey, we had this coming. But it gives families like almost an early week to hit vacation. It gets you out of school quicker in the end. And I think by the time June comes around, you're not thinking about days in February anyways.
Yeah.
To
go away nowadays in February, everybody, the whole world goes away in the same months. Yeah. And it's like, try to get a ticket to go to Florida.
Yeah.
It's like $550. You know, a family of four, you're talking $2,000 for flights. Never mind hotel room, which those triple.
I think it's a good idea. Then come June, you can go anywhere on vacation or whatever. You can hit, you know, Yellowstone before all the other families get there or whatever. So it seems like a good trade-off.
Reasonable, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
You know, early starts of the summer, that can never be a bad thing.
It cannot be a bad thing.
I know you're feeling it.
I just hesitate to, you know, be, like, I'm not in a teacher's shoes, and I'm not, you know, so I don't, I'm just pointing it out, so I don't know how other people feel. Hopefully people will write in and tell me how they feel. Have you gotten any good meals in Gloucester lately that we need to talk about?
Well, you know, I always have a lot of good meals. I really did enjoy, it was quite unexpected, the oyster po' boy at Passports with the pickles and the onions on the big roll. I was impressed with that, but honestly, I've been impressed with everything I've eaten there pretty much.
Yeah.
But that was really cool. You happened to post a photo like the day after I had been there, and I thought that was exceptional. I thought that was good.
We got a comment just yesterday, and that post was that post
the
with the picture was like
there, awesome there.
Yeah. We got a comment yesterday on that post, and that post was posted like last week, but someone wrote in to thank me for the suggestion. They brought their entire family from Belmont based on that post.
Oh, wow.
To go for the oyster po' boys, and they said thank you so much because it was they were amazing and worth the trip.
Serving our community.
Boom.
That's awesome.
Boom.
They have a Vietnamese pork.
The banh mi.
Yeah.
It's called banh mi. B-A-H-N. I think it's M-E or something.
Awesome. Hannah had that. Awesome. Good stuff.
It's that's what do you call that? That's the rib. Oh, God. It's the short rib. They make it with a short rib, and it's like marinated. Like, touch it with the fork, and it just kind of like breaks apart.
So good.
I don't know what the sauce is that they use, but it was amazing. I had the steak tips there a couple weeks ago,
bang,
and they did it with like a hoisin sauce. I can't have enough hoisin sauce in my life.
You really can't.
You cannot have enough.
You need to put it in your coffee.
But what people may not realize, because I feel like you can't get good steak tips anymore.
Really?
Like, you go to the supermarket, they're not using what they used 15 years ago for steak tips. Because every time I get steak tips at the supermarket, they're so sinewy and flavorless and like have so much fat in them, but they're not the good fat, they're like the hard to chew fat. It seems like they're just, I used to get steak tips all the time, throw them on the grill, cook them, it was an easy meal, and it was delicious. Now it seems like what they're using for steak tips is like a third level down on the cow chain of meat. But what Eric gets, and I'm not sure if I should share this because he told me the secret, he has this place that does, they get the tenderloin. And at the very end of the tenderloin,
a little pointy tip. Yeah.
There's a pointy tip. And this one company that he gets his meat from will chop off that tip, fling it into like one little container, and they make 5 pound bags of this tenderloin. Not okay. You know what I mean? Like, basically it's ribeye,
yeah,
the best part of the steak, but like
it's
they
like
can't serve
chunks of filet mignon. It's, is what it is,
right? You know, it's not. They can't serve it as a you know, they're slicing this thing vertically and they're punching out fillets or ribeyes, but when they get down to the tip, they can't serve that as a steak, so it's going as their steak tips, which is a higher grade, and he buys those and he provides those. So
I have not eaten today.
If you get a chance to go to Passports and ask for the the steak tips, they are cut above, is what I'm saying.
Now, speaking of steak and cooking steak, you hit me up to an awesome deal yesterday.
Oof.
Told me about a grill that you saw at Sears.
I saw this deal.
I looked on my phone. It was a $500 Kenmore stainless steel grill with stainless steel grills on the inside. Four knobber, no side cooker because no one ever uses it. With giant side tables. I looked online.
And they fold up and fold down.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't. So if you have a small space,
store. Yeah,
you can totally. Yeah,
which is genius. So I look online, immediately on my phone, check Sears, not available anywhere. Then I went down to the local little Sears outlet, and I told them, I said, hey, where's that $200 Kenmore grill? And they all said, there is no $200 Kenmore. I said, yeah, there is. I seen it online. Nah. And I said, it's that one. And I pointed at one, looked just like the picture.
Dun, dun, dun.
Nah, that's a $500 grill. I was like, well, he's like, do you have proof or something? He's like, wait a minute, I'll pull it up online. Really nice guy that runs the place. Pulls it up and he's like, oh my God, that grill's $200. And so they look, it's the last one, like within a million miles, I think.
Yeah.
I rolled that puppy out of there.
Rolled it out of there.
You know, I've got a giant smoker and I've got little charcoal grills and whatever. I love a gas grill. Don't get it twisted. I love a gas grill also. You can do amazing things with a gas grill.
Well, you know, did you ever see my post about like back 7 or 8 years ago, we bought the super duper Mac Daddy grill and paid triple,
like $1,500 for it or something.
No, like maybe a grand, but like it was the ridiculous grill of all ridiculous grills. It lasted 3 years.
Yeah, and rusted out.
And disintegrated. And I was so upset and mad at myself. I said, this is a lesson. I did a post on the blog about it. I'm like, anybody that buys an expensive grill is an idiot, and including myself. And I learned my lesson. Just buy a decent, the best grill you can buy for $200, $250, yep. And just know that it is going to fall apart in 2 or 3 years. Yeah. And it's a rental fee.
Exactly.
So a $200 grill, you're going to get 3 years out of it, $66 a year.
Boom.
Don't try to repair it because you go get the parts. It's like $150.
I've been down this road. Exactly. I bought a beautiful, beautiful, stunning grill years ago when I was still in Virginia and used the hell out of that thing, man. I mean, I abused that grill.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sure enough, the flames on a certain amount of hours, it will burn away those parts. So even not being, it'll last 3 or 4 years. I went to price out to replace everything that needed replacing. It was like $300 to prop from the grills to the burners to all that stuff. So no, buy a grill right now. Buy it in the before the spring starts. Yeah. Find the deals. Last year's model, $200-$300. If you pay over $300 for a grill, you are kidding yourself unless you do have money to throw away.
Well, I would put an aside that like the green egg ones that are made out of ceramic, but that's a different animal. That's charcoal.
That's professional smoking and stuff. Yeah.
That's a whole different animal. I'm talking about like a stainless steel grill.
Everybody's Joey Backyard Grill.
Joey Backyard, that is the move. That is the move.
So I'm pumped. I got that thing sitting on the front porch. Gonna go get
now, did
a tank.
You, when you put that thing together, did you notice that the grates on that thing weighed about...
A ton, yeah.
The stainless steel...
Heavy grates.
Heavy. I have to think if you go and junk this, like you bring this to a scrapyard, you're gonna get at least $50 back
for
the
metal.
Stainless.
Yes. Well, I was lucky because the only one left was the one that was pre-assembled on the floor.
Yeah.
And I did ask the guy. I was like, "So, do I get more discount because it's a floor model?" And he goes, "You mean am I not gonna charge you for the assembly fee?"
Oh, nice. So
I was like, "Fair enough. Okay. I actually prefer to put it together myself."
Yeah.
You know how it is. Somebody slapping it together, but
it is
heavy. Heavy grills in there.
I'm gonna say this. I read the reviews on that grill, and the reviews on that grill said people that paid the full price, that paid the $500, were not happy because they said after 3 years it started to fall apart. But so
us on the other hand.
but I would be upset too if I paid $500 for the grill. And it fell apart in 3 years. I'm going in, like you're going in, like my mom's house, like she needed the grill. I got her the grill. I'm going in saying, this is going to fall apart in 3 years. You're going in saying,
yes,
it's going to go fall apart in 3 years. At $200, I acknowledge that.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with that.
And you know what? When I put it on the street in 3 years, somebody will gladly come by, pick it up, and put $200 into getting it working again. You know what I'm saying?
Kablammy.
Not a problem. So, I'm excited for it. And you got to figure, it's almost 1,000 days you get to use it. If you only use it for $200, that's $1 a day you paid to cook.
Yeah, I know.
So, not a problem.
I know. I wonder what was behind the whole theory to change those gas things around to the new kind of knobs and
the new fangled attachments.
It's like Kasia, like they say, it's like if you don't have a gas tank, you're like, holy mackerel, you're gonna get smoked.
You can rewire those things and plug them into a big giant, butane tank on your house too.
Yeah,
you can get a different attachment for it. It almost looks like you would put into an air compressor or the end of a gun.
Really?
Yes, you can get that, and you can clip it right in. As a little conversion thing.
Do you have a fireplace at your house?
Unfortunately, no.
No.
I so wish I did.
You're a renter, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're not.
Yes.
It's not like you can put in a pellet stove or anything like that.
I wish I could. There, you could see on the side of the house where a pipe used to exit and go up the side of the house. And right now it has electric baseboard heats, which I might as well just open up windows and shovel cash out the window is how much it costs to heat it.
Electric heat is comfortable, but it's It's expensive.
Oh, I can't. That's terrible.
Well, forced hot air to me is terrible.
Oh, that's even worse. Though, yeah. Like, I can't stand forced hot air.
If you had contacts, you don't want forced hot air.
No, it makes me sneeze, actually. But no, I wish I did. I wish I could have like a pellet stove or something.
How about Auntie Joan? Does she have a fireplace?
She actually, this year, she installed this beautiful little very heavy cast iron gas stove.
Oh, yeah.
That's got like the fake embers and stuff in it or whatever. It looks beautiful. It heats tremendously.
Yeah.
Nice, even, smooth heat. I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful little piece of art. It looks great. So she got that installed this past year in the little guest room there.
That's about as easy as it gets. That's easy. That's even easier than the pellet stove.
Yeah, you just go over and click a button, boom, heat's coming to you.
Kablammy.
Yeah, so it's efficient too.
Yeah,
I love, in Virginia, we had a fireplace in our last house, and I truly miss making fires all the time.
Oh,
I just absolutely... Man. I guess that's my romanticism side or whatever.
When I was a kid, when I was in high school, if it was bad weather out, and I rarely got days off, but if I got a day off, in college, I'd go to my buddy Derek's house on Eastern Point, and they had this room that was overlooking the water, but they had this monstrous wood-burning stove. And we would just basically strip down to our jammies or whatever and crank that thing up, even though like every other room in the house is like 55 degrees. That thing would be like 97, sweats coming off you, you're watching football. Oh, it was like the greatest thing ever.
Oh, but, football. Yeah. Remember football.
Let's just talk about this. So I was at my sister's a couple of days ago. Well, my sister actually came up to my mom's house with her kids. We're all just sitting there, like, you know, she had cooked some, she made some fried dough or something. My kids are at the house too. We're all kind of sitting there and I was kind of vegging out and stuff. I'm like, wow, I miss football. Football brings families together.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Even if people don't watch it half the time.
Right.
They're all there. The noise is on. Someone's cheering. Someone's upset about their fantasy team. It's a beautiful thing.
I don't care about any other sport like I care about football. Well, actually, I like watching my daughter play soccer. That's pretty fun.
That's awesome.
She all whacked in the nose. She was playing off. She mostly plays defense and goalie, and she was on offense this past Saturday, and she was attacking she kicked the ball a little bit ahead of her, and there was a girl that had to have like 25 pounds on her, and the girl teed off the ball and it hit her square in the nose.
Oh, and, remember those days?
And Madeline's pretty tough, but she went down crying. I was like, oh no. Like, what do you do as a parent? Like, okay, I'm standing up. I'm, like, trying to make eye contact. I don't want to be the parent that, like, freaks out and runs onto the field. But the coach was really great. The guy's name's Seth Romans. And, like, you know, she went to the box, you know, like, where they had, you know, and they put a replacement on. And he, like, got her and said, hey, there's your daddy's waving to you. You know, make sure let him know that you're all right. And she got right back out there. But it was
nice.
It's like, oh, no.
Soccer was my sport growing up.
Did you play?
Oh, yeah. I played avidly from age 7 to early 20s. I was all about it, man. I was all...
How old are you now?
42.
So 42. Yeah. Back when, like, I was a teenager, you're only 4 years younger than me, soccer was like a small... Everybody played football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The soccer kids were like kind of like annexed and stuff like that. But now soccer has become way more popular. Was soccer as popular as football where you grew up when you were a kid?
No. When I was a kid, it was not nearly as popular. And most people, I mean, a lot of people loved to play football as a kid. But I remember my very first soccer practice, looking over there at the football practice of the kids, and I just saw like, you know, these giant helmets and all these little kids are all standing around for 2.5 hours. It never looked like fun to me. I never watched football as a kid. And not until, like, going to, like, the community high school game that my high school didn't have football, but did I even watch football?
No.
You know, so, no. Growing up, something about soccer attracted me early on. Maybe it's my English and Irish heritage. I'm not sure, but...
I should have played soccer because I was such a skinny, awkwardly skinny kid that, like, you know, I played football through middle school and I was probably the worst kid on the team, like, really bad. and I probably should, you know, but I played football because all my cousins who were, like, big, strong kids with big, thick legs and, like, what do you call those? You know, they had athletic builds. I was, like, the ectomorph, you know, and... But like, because they all played, I played, and I just got my ass handed to me.
Just got cracked.
Yeah, it was not fun.
I miss football.
But like, I love watching football. I probably should have played soccer. And I'm happy that soccer has gotten so popular.
World Cup this year, Brazil.
In Brazil?
In Brazil.
Oh, buckle your chin strap. How many deaths? What's the over-under?
Oh,
500
God.
Deaths?
It's just going to be, who knows, it's going to be crazy.
I saw a video. Did you ever see the video?
Yeah, Brazil's a bit of a violent place at times.
I saw a video of a soccer match in Brazil. In the stands, there was like a 500-person riot that they did not have any control over. People throwing haymakers everywhere.
Oh, yeah, when they go, it's over. You ain't stopping them.
They needed like the mustard gas. This video on YouTube went on for 25 minutes of never go.
There's flares coming out of the crowds. There's fires being lit.
I would
levels
never,
are collapsing.
I would never ever go. I mean, it's probably the most exciting thing in the world, most terrifying thing in the world. The same.
We think we're fans here, between Europe and South America and Central. Man, they. Absolutely change. Literally, I used to have this book on the history of soccer, and I remember reading there was a war that actually started
over
a soccer game. And I think it was somewhere Middle European, somewhere.
Pelota.
But good Lord, I mean, those fans.
Rabid. So to have the World Cup
In Brazil, and the matches are across Brazil. So one team is going to be playing in 190 degrees. Another team will be playing a night game in like 35 degrees.
Whoa.
And then you got to move. It's just going to be chaos.
It's going to be exciting to watch, though.
I would do anything to be there and cover it, though, if I could be there. Can GMG fund me to go to Brazil?
You set up a... What was the Kickstarter campaign?
Yeah, can we get a Kickstarter to send Craig, the lifelong soccer fan... Football, if you will, to Brazil.
There you go.
That's going to be awesome. I watched the combine this week.
You watched the combine. Well, we're going to wrap this up, my man.
Excellent.
This has been a great podcast. I'm eager to listen to the results. We taped this. This is the first one we actually set up. I wasn't doing it on the fly with the Samsung Go mic and the iPad. We're in the office down the dock right now, but... we're not using the big phallic mic, the 200-pound phallic Yeti.
The Ron Jeremy of microphones.
It is the Ron. I'm actually going to take a photo right now, so when you guys hear the click, I don't know if you will hear the click, you'll see the difference in the two mics. We're using the mic on the left, on the right, the little tiny one that's attached to the top of the iPad. But the one I normally use is
which is a super quality mic, by the way.
It
is exceptional. But
we probably lose a little bit by using the Samsung mic, but the ease in exporting and being able to dub the audio in like this nice music we have right now is, I think, worth the trade-off. Well, we'll find out in a few minutes. Craig, thanks for being my guest today.
Brother, you know it. Thanks for having me in, man.
All right. For Joey Shimatao and my boy Craig Kimberly, peace out.